recognize it. We've been looking at heart issues, issues of the heart. This is our fourth message. Last week we explored the idea of God's heart being broken. God's heart being broken. And I imagine if we did a poll here, does anybody in here want to break God's heart? I imagine not. There wouldn't be anybody who'd raise their hand. Now, let me ask this. How many of y'all think, don't raise your hand, how many of y'all think you have at some time broken God's heart? We would all be raising our hands. It is possible to break God's heart. We saw several events in the Old Testament that pointed out events that I believe that broke the heart of God, and then we moved to the day we now live. We saw that there are many things happening today that are breaking the heart of God. Man's rejection in the face of undeniable proof that God is God breaks God's heart. Christians who will not engage to spread the gospel of Christ breaks the heart of God. Children in our area who have no idea who Jesus is breaks the heart of God. And those who know Jesus but will not accept Him and will not follow Him breaks God's heart. This morning we're going to explore another heart issue. We're going to look at two different men who shared a lot in common, but were in the same breath, were extremely different. But both at some point were held in very high regards concerning the heart of God and being pleasing unto the heart of God. Is it possible to find a focal passage in the Bible that will help us to understand what it means to please the heart of God and not break His heart? Because, church, listen to me. Just like many other issues in Scripture, this is a black and white issue. Do you hear me? There's no middle ground here. We're either yearning, desiring to please the heart of God, or most likely we're breaking God's heart. We're either doing God's will or we're walking away from God's will. We're wanting to please God or we have no desire to please God. There's no middle ground here. So this morning, I want to point at a passage of Scripture that I believe, listen, that it is a focal point not only in the Old Testament, but I believe it is a focal point in the Word of God. You might want to underline it, write it, Scripture down, take it to the front. It's one that I've used several times in times past, but it's pertinent to the message that God put on my heart today. The title of the message today is this: How to Please the Heart of God. If you're a Christian and you don't desire to be pleasing in God's heart, something's wrong. It really is. This message ought to, your ears ought to perk up. You ought to be excited. You ought to want to know, okay, what is it? What is it that I need to do? What can I do to be pleasing unto God? Too many of us know what it is to break God's heart. We don't have to, do a word search or get deep in the Word of God to find out how or what we need to do to break God's heart. But we can know this morning what we need to do to please God's heart. Amen? Amen? All right, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And I referred to this scripture a couple of weeks ago when we were dealing with heart issues as well. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 says this: Then Samuel said to Saul, he says, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord?" This is an open-ended question. It demands to be answered. We need to ask ourselves the same question that's being asked this morning to Saul. Listen to it again. Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? We don't have to look far to see the answer. It says, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. Did y'all get that? To obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, please be with us the remainder of time we have here this morning. God, help us to be excited about being in your word, to hear a word from you. God, stir us. You say in your word, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I also in your midst. Lord, help us to be excited because you are here with us this morning. Lord, I pray that eyes would be open, Lord, hearts would be attentive to the message you put on my heart to preach, not because of me, but because of you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. As you look at this scripture, we don't have to look far to understand that what he's saying here is, and this is what we do as Christians, we tend to look at our works and say, well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and you know, I did this. I did this for you, Jesus. I did this for you, Jesus. Y'all remember the scripture we used last week? Many will prophesy and say, well, I cast out demons in your name and this and that and that in your name. And Jesus says, look, I don't know who you are. I don't have a clue who you are. So many people are looking and saying, well, I did this. I did this. But Jesus, through God, is saying this. But did you obey me? I'm glad that you did this. You ought to want to do this. This ought to be your second nature to do this, whatever it is that you're doing. But did you do the first thing first? It's great that you did something, but did you obey me? It's kind of like when you come home and you've had a list on the refrigerator bill and you've said, okay, look, I want you to cut the grass and clean your room and you know, clean all the toothpaste that's in the sink. And you know, I know it doesn't happen at your house. Right? And you come home and you see, well, you know, the water hose is out and both cars are washed and the windows have been washed and the floor's been swept and the floor's been mopped and it's wonderful. Dad, look at all I did, but did you do what I told you to do? It's great that you washed the cars and mopped the floors and swept, but did you do what I told you to do? This is what God's saying. What do we need to do to be pleasing under the heart of God? Obey Him. Listen to Him. Now this morning we're going to look at two men who had a lot in common, but they were very different in the same breath. And I believe if we pay attention to their lives, and we don't have time to really get into great detail, but if we just look, just briefly skim over the top of their lives, we can see how we can be pleasing unto God as well. Well, who were these two men and what was so special about them? Well, the two men were David and Paul. And the Old Testament, we see David in the Old Testament and we see Paul in the New Testament. What are some things that these men shared in common? John was the beloved apostle. And we could probably say, throw John in here as well, but to be honest with you, church, as we look through the Old Testament, we don't see a lot of activity with John. We see some activity with John. We understand that he was the beloved apostle, but we don't see a lot of ministry from John. We can look at Paul. We can follow Paul. We can see almost his whole life and tell that, listen, he had a lifelong desire to please the heart of God. What are some things that we see in common? Church, David is credited for writing many of the 149 Psalms in the book of Psalms. His life story is told in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and the end of the reign of his life is seen in the book of 1 Kings. He and his writings are referred to throughout the Old Testament by prophet, priest, and in the New Testament by almost every single one of the gospel writers. Well, what do we see here? He was highly regarded by both God and man. David was. Was he perfect? Now, I'm going to get to that here in a few minutes. No, but he was highly regarded, both in that day and today that we live in, by God and man. Now, listen, Paul was given credit for writing the books of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And some give him credit for writing the book of Hebrews. I think Luke did, but some give Paul credit for writing Hebrews. Paul may well be the most quoted author in the New Testament. So what are you saying, Brother Kyle? What do you want us to get here? Paul was in his day and the day that we live in today highly regarded by both God and man. highly regarded. When you get into scriptural debates with people and you're trying to show them what God wants them to do in their life, listen, it won't take you long before you start quoting something that Paul wrote. You won't. If you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord, the first book you're going to take them to is the book of Romans. And listen, before too long, you're going to point them to one of the greatest salvation scriptures there is, and that's Romans 10:9. Well, who wrote that? Paul wrote it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Did he write it on his own? No. He was held in high regard by both God, through both God and man. Well, let's look at some other similarities. Both Paul and David were Jews. They were Jews among Jews. They understood what it meant to be a Jew and follow the traditions of Jews to the letter, not for self-promotion, but to bring glory to the kingdom of God. That was their desire. Listen, at least in their own eyes, that's what their desire was, to bring glory and honor to God. Did it always bring glory and honor to God? No. You look at Saul before he became Paul. He was striving to be a zealot for the Lord. He wanted to please the heart of God. Was it pleasing unto the heart of God when he stood there and held the men's coats when they stoned Stephen? No. But in his eyes, he thought that he was doing everything he could to please the heart of God. Church, here's another. Both men had very unusual personal callings from God himself. David was tending the sheep, minding his own business, when God called him through the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. Paul, on the other hand, thought that he was doing the will of God by persecuting Christians when God opened his eyes on the road to Damascus. Church, both had their eyes opened in a very unusual way. Very unusual way. And they desired to serve God. Now, listen, church, that's some of the good stuff. Listen to this. Both of these men failed God miserably. Now, stay with me. How do you please God? You have to understand, you have to look at those who were considered God pleasers. Paul and David were. You mean to tell me that these guys failed miserably and they were still pleasing unto God? Yes. Listen, these men failed God miserably. David started off his walk with the Lord great. In the middle-aged years of his life, he failed God, and then he finished his life. It was fair. He did okay at the end. Paul started his life fair with the zeal and devotion of God in his life. He failed God in his younger life by not accepting Christ as his personal Savior, as his one and only Messiah. But listen, once God opened his eyes, there was no stopping him. He finished strong. Paul finished strong. He finished his life strong. Churches, we look at these two men. It can be said that the greater parts of both these men's lives were pleasing to the heart of God. Interesting fact here. Y'all ready for this? Both men were murderers. You just said something. You just said that the majority of these men's lives were pleasing unto God. Well, yeah, they were. But both of these men were murderers? Yeah. David killed Uriah for a woman. I mean, he already had three. That's enough. But for another woman, he killed Uriah. Listen, Saul, we don't have a clue how many people Paul put to death as he was persecuting Christians. They were both murderers. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that God can still use people when they have failed God miserably. Church, both these men understood that obedience to God was greater than sacrificing to God. They both learned this lesson the hard way. Youth, listen. Y'all were 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, right? Anybody 18 yet? Nobody's 18 yet. Luke, are you 18? Luke's 18. We have an unbelievable, you have an unbelievable opportunity. Right now, you can choose. I'm going to do things the easy way, or I'm going to do things the hard way. Now, I've talked to some of y'all's parents, and some of y'all are already going down the hard way. I want to do it the hard way. But you don't have to. I promise you, you don't have to. Both of these guys, they finally got in line with the way God wanted them to be and to do what God wanted them to do. But why is it that they had to learn the hard way? I don't know. I remember as my children were growing up, especially one of them. I'm not going to mention which one. But I remember, Abigail, you listening? Listen, this is important. You got to get this because I'm sure your daddy's told you this before. I remember grabbing this particular child and looking at, and I'm glad he was a little older because, I mean, I probably would have, you know, the shaking baby syndrome. You can do things your way or my way, but my way is a whole lot easier. Right? Right? Hey, listen, why is it? God doesn't make things hard for us, but we tend to, I can't understand the Word of God. Well, let me ask you, how long has it been since you've opened the Word of God? I just don't understand what he's saying. When was the last time you tried to understand what he said? Well, I just don't get it. You never will if you don't open the Word of God. Hey, listen, when I first started to try to read the Word of God, and I was ignorant, you know, I thought, well, you know, you just open the Bible the way you open a book, you go to Genesis. If you try to open the Word of God and start reading in the book of Genesis, yeah, you're going to shut it pretty quick. You really are. But if you open the Word of God and continually try to pour the Word of God into your life, listen, it's gonna sprout like a tree. Well, Brother Kyle, how can you say that? Well, because it says that. Why would you want to do things the hard way? What are some of, we saw, you know, what they had in common. What were some differences these men had? Well, David was a king, and Paul was a former Sanhedrin turned missionary. So they were, you know, a lot different as well. David was a great warrior with the sword, and Paul was a great warrior with a pen and with his words. I mean, he had the innate ability when somebody said something to him, boy, he had the right words to say to show them the way to God. Unbelievable. David's loyalty and service was to the Jewish nation. And although Paul loves the Jews and tried to minister to them anytime he had a possible you know, opportunity to witness to them, his loyalty and his service was to the Gentile nations. Church, God used the prophet Nathan to open the eyes of David of his wrongdoings and set him on the path with God. God used Jesus to open the eyes of Paul to set Paul on the path to God. Well, okay, what are you saying? Listen, if you belong to God, He will send someone to you to open your eyes and to guide you back to Him. What's the key word there, though? If you are a child of God. Well, you know, God's, you know, I've done what I want, when I want, however I want, and I've never felt God trying to get me back. It's a good chance you don't belong to Him. Because there's never been a time since I've called myself a Christian when I've walked this way and I was supposed to walk this way that God didn't send somebody to get me. Y'all with me? Why? Because He loves me. Now, what can we learn? I mean, we just touched the top. Well, I could have spent 2 or 3 weeks on each one of these men and really diving in to you know, how they were pleasing unto God. But I didn't. Church, what can we learn from these two men to help our walk today? Because that's what we need, isn't it? We need to see what we need to do to help our walk. There's nobody in here who has finished your walk. You're not done. We're all works in progress. We are all being sanctified daily to do the will and the work of God. Listen, we need to understand what we need to be doing to be pleasing unto God. Amen? So what can we learn? What did we learn from these two men to help our walk today? Number one, church, God desires your life to be like David and Paul's. Listen, how can we do this? He desires for people to look back and look at your life and say, man, I want to be a Christian like Mr. White. When we're dead and gone, people want, you know, God desires that people look at us and say, I want to live my life like Becky. I want to serve God through the church like Poppy. Man, his car's up here every single day. That's what God desires for us. To live our lives in such a way that when we're dead and gone, people still remember who we are and what we did and how our walk affected the lives of others. It might not ever be significant to you, but it can be significant to others. And I'm going to hit that here in a second. Well, how can we do this? Be obedient. Y'all get it? God looks down at us and he sees us doing this and we're doing like this. God, look what I just did. Look what I did. He said, yeah, but you were obedient. Were you obedient? God, look here, look here. Look what I did. Look what I did. I did this and this and this and I did this for the children and I went on a mission trip. Yeah, that's great. Are you being obedient? Are you being obedient to me and my word? Well, number two, what can we learn from this? God will find you where you are, just as he did David and Paul. God will find you where you are and prepare you for what he desires for you to do. Church, listen, God knows exactly where you are right now in your life. He's God. Ms. Desi, he is in yesterday. He's in the day where it baffles our mind. He is already in tomorrow. Tomorrow. Wait, he's in tomorrow. What's he doing? I don't know everything he's doing, but I know he's preparing a way for me. Why? Because he loves me and he desires for me to have a relationship with him like David and Paul. Every single day. Church, not only that, listen. God knows exactly what it is in your life that you're supposed to be doing. And he'll place you in his in that place in his time. You can know the will of God if you will get into the Word of God. Listen, I knew that God was going to use me in the ministry from an early age. I just didn't know where and when. I was 31 years old when I surrendered finally to full-time ministry, and I was in full-time ministry. I know some of y'all thought, you know, Brother Kyle's been doing this since he was 7 or 8 years old. No. 31. 30. You know what that means? For 31 years, God was preparing me to do what I am doing now. Why? I'm so impatient, Brother Kyle. I want to know what God wants me to do. Well, be obedient. That's how you're going to know. Well, be obedient. You know, sometimes when you ask advice of people, the advice they give you isn't the advice that you're looking for. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you want to do something, and I'm going to ask some advice. You know, I'm going to ask Brother Bill. Brother Bill, do you think I ought to do something, and you really want to do it? And Brother Bill looks at you and says, I don't think you ought to do that. Well, he's not in God's will. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll never forget in all my life, one of the men who came to preach here homecoming, I think 3 years ago, Jim Neal. Love Jim Neal. He loves the Lord. I went to Jim and I asked Jim, I said, Jim, can you please be praying for me? Because I feel like God is getting ready to do something with me. I don't know what it is he's going to do with me. But, you know, now as I look back, I probably was doing it in such a way that I was bragging, you know. I can feel God getting ready to do something with me. You know, Jim, what do I need to do? And you know, I was probably expecting something like, well, you know, I've seen God work in your life. I've seen the Shekinah glory fall on you during prayer time. And boy, you've just, every message you've gone down and prayed, and I've seen angels descend from heaven and just, you know, flap their wings over your prayer time. You know, listen, I was probably expecting something like that, but I didn't get that. I said, Jim, you know, tell what's going on? Because he was already in the ministry. He said, well, look, if God's really dealing with you about going in the ministry somewhere, you need to do three things. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm probably already doing them, but go ahead and tell me what you know. Pray more than you ever prayed before. Read your Bible more than you've ever read before. And make sure that you're tithing your income like you never have before. I'm like, well, that ain't none of your business. Thank you. But church, you know what? He was right. He wasn't telling me something that I wanted to hear. He was telling me what I needed to hear. He wasn't telling me something that would fluff my fall, brother, I've been praying for you. I've seen all this. No, listen. He was telling me what I needed to do to be obedient to God. Because listen to me, honestly, you can do things for God, but until you're being obedient to God, nothing that you do for God is going to matter until you're obedient. Learned a great lesson there. Well, what else can we learn? Most likely, church, most likely, you, all of us, are either going to fail God or you've already failed God in some way or another. Listen to me. Repent and turn back to God. He'll restore you. Listen, this book is about restoration. It's about God calling His people back to Himself. Come back to me. Please come back to me. Follow me. I know that you failed miserably. You messed up. You did. Now, I warned you, and I tried to get you not to fail, but you failed anyway. But listen, come back to me. As long as you have breath, you can come back to God. Come back to Him. Some of you haven't blown it yet, but you're going to. You don't have to, but most likely, you're going to. Repent and come back to Him. Church, God desires to use you and your life in miraculous ways. All of us. Get this. Please get this. Do you really think that David and Paul thought that they had spectacular spiritual lives, yet they're firmly planted in the Word of God as examples of how to be pleasing to the heart of God? Listen, were they perfect? Absolutely not. They were redeemed works of God that were completed when they stood before Him in glory. Church, what God has in store for your life is just as miraculous as the lives of David and Paul. These guys didn't look at themselves and say, look at me. Man, I have started churches in Antioch, and I've got on three long-term mission fields. I've suffered in prison for Jesus. Paul didn't hold himself in high esteem. He didn't look at his ministry as unbelievably successful. But we sure do, don't we? David, listen, do you think David looked at his life? And at the end of his life, as he was talking to his sons before he knew he was going to take his last breath, and say, listen, live your life exactly the way I lived mine, because, listen, after all, I was the man after God's own heart. I don't even know if he knew that he was the man after God's own heart. No. Their lives, listen, God wants to live us to live our lives in such a way that gives Him glory the way these two men did. Do you know who's going to know it? Not you. Is it even important to know it? No. Let me tell y'all a secret. One of the hardest ministries that I've seen and I've experienced are youth ministry and college ministry. Do you know why? Very seldom do you ever see the success of the fruits of your labor in those two ministries. Am I lying? Very seldom. Very seldom. But later on in life, it never fails. You'll get a message in the middle of the night from one of the youth. Dear Brother Kyle, I just want you to know that what you taught me 12 years ago is still impacting my life today. I failed God, but now I'm coming back to God because of what I heard from you. Listen, do you get that in the middle of... No. You go home and you're just like, God, are you sure you want me to do this? Because they're crazy. They don't listen to me. I don't see any change. You know, why can't I see any change? Listen, God says, be obedient. Do what I keep, keep doing what I tell you to do. Something's happening. You don't ever see the fruits of your labor. But something's happening. What does God want us to do? Be obedient. Even when we don't see it, God's working. He's doing things that we don't see. Why is it that we have to see? Because we're human. God's still at work. God's still at work. Church, what this world needs is a group of people who will stand up and proclaim that they are going to live their lives to please God. That's the first step. I'm going to please God, not myself, not the world, not my friends. I'm here to please God. Well, how in the world do I please God? Be obedient to Him. How do you please God? Be obedient to Him. How do I know that I'm being obedient to Him? Through His Word. I've heard some kooks tell me, God told me to, and y'all have seen them on TV, God told me that to get a whole bunch of handkerchiefs and lay them right here and pray over them and cry over them and offer them to people. If you'll send in a prayer seed or a money seed, we'll send you one of these tears that we've prayed. Brother Kyle, hold on a second. How do you know that's not true? It's not in the Word of God. Who are we to worship, man or God? God, who are we to be obedient to? God. Listen, I've got an unobstructed chain to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I kneel on my knees, or I can stand right here, I can be walking, talking, I can be driving my car. All I have to say is, Lord Jesus, and I'm in His presence. I don't need a prayer cloth. I don't need some water from the front yard of an old building. Church, He wants us to be obedient. And we're obedient when we're in accordance with the Word of God. Now listen, truth, just about done. As we read the Word of God, we see way more stories of failure than we do of success. Do you know who decides whether or not you're going to be successful in your spiritual lives or a failure? You. Where you're striving, what you're longing for. And y'all have heard preachers say it before. I can look at your day planner and your checkbook and see who you're trying to please. God's desire is that we all succeed, that we all seek to please His heart. Now, right now, you're going to choose to continue to break God's heart or to be pleasing to the heart of God. Which will you choose? Do you really, really, really want to be pleasing unto the heart of God? Be obedient. Be obedient. It's that easy. or it's that hard. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now. Lord, I pray, Jesus, during this time of invitation, your invitation, that you right now would help us individually to see ourselves as you, the righteous King, see us. Strip away all of our righteousness. Strip away all our self-worth. Help us, God, to see ourselves as you see us. That we might fall on our face before you, repent, and beg you to help us to see through your word how to be obedient to you. This is your time of invitation. Lord, we love you. Will you be obedient and come and worship him at this altar? In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?